Hallelujah.
Lord be with you.
Hallelujah.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. Then a leper approached, did him homage, and said, Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean. Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, Lord, no, I do will it. Be made clean. His leprosy was cleansed immediately. Then Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them. The Gospel of the Lord. For the last 16 days at Daily Mass, we've been going part by part through the Sermon on the Mount, which Jesus describes for us, his standards for us. And his standards are high. He talks to us about the Beatitudes. It's not easy when a world treasures riches to be poor in spirit. When it treasures pornography for us to be poor, pure of heart. When it treasures power for us to be meek and peacemakers. When it stresses laughter and parties for us to be so compassionate that we mourn. When it stresses having all your desires fulfilled, when we hunger and thirst for holiness, when it wants to be popular, and we seek to be so united to Jesus that the persecution he endured, we willingly will endure. And that's just the beginning. Then he gets to loving those who have made our enemies, praying for our persecutors, doing good to those who do ill to us. After Jesus describes those standards, if we really confront them and seek to build our life, as we heard yesterday, on that rock, we can say, I don't think I can do it. Or I haven't done it, Lord, up until this point. And so, both by God's providential plan, as well as by the way the Holy Spirit inspired St. Matthew, as he's writing his gospel, immediately after the entirety of the Sermon on the Mount in which Jesus described the wisdom of the Christian life, we get chapter 8. Which is about 7 miracles of healing. And it begins with this beautiful response to all of that, which not only is an historical event, significant in its own right to Jesus, but it also shows that if we're overwhelmed after Jesus sets those standards, we don't have to be intimidated. This leper, scorned by society, totally ostracized, from family members, from the synagogue and the temple, from God, essentially, the practice of the faith, from friends, from normal day-to-day life, from work, etc. This outcast recognizes who Jesus is, approaches, and with bold confidence, falling down before him in adoration, says, if you will it, you can make me clean. We remember that scene after the transfiguration when Jesus comes down from the mountain and the father of the boy with the demon brings his son to the other 9 apostles asking them to clean him, to heal him, and they were unsuccessful. And then he goes to Jesus and says, if you can, do something. And Jesus says, all things are possible for those who believe. It's a different response here from this leper. Whereas that dad said, if you can, This leper comes up and says, I know you can. If you will, you can make me clean. All you got to do is want it. And Jesus' beautiful response, tomorrow there'll be the gospel of the healing of the centurion's servant, which Jesus does it at a great distance. Jesus could have healed him that way, but he didn't. He reached out, and we can still hear the gasps after 2 millennia, and touched the leper. And only after touching him, said, I do will it be made clean. There was this real sacramental encounter with him. It wasn't just at a distance. Jesus wanted to touch the leper. And in a sense, we have, to use Michelangelo's famous image, a recreation. God reaches out and touches to bring back to life. We're living at a time in coronavirus in which a lot of normal things aren't happening, in which people who are freaking out about death and about illness and about the cross just want to keep us all in hermetically sealed containers so that we have no real human interaction. We don't have to be stupid or silly or imprudent or endanger others. But we can prudently touch people, and we shouldn't be afraid. Anything else isn't really coming from above. We need to be bold enough to say that. God reaches out to touch us, and we are the mystical body, his hands, his eyes, his ears, his mouth, his feet, his heart. It's meant to continue that sacramental encounter. Jesus wills to make us clean. And through us, he wills to make others clean. It's his perpetual will. It's the reason for the incarnation. It's the reason for the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord. It's the reason for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wills to purify us, to make us ultimately like him. Now, some of the times, the means that he chooses are not the means that we would write up or wish. In the first reading, we have this concatenation of evil that happened when the Babylonians came, killed so many of the Jews in Jerusalem, enslaved the rest, and then burned down pretty much anything that was worth burning in the holy city. Terrible destruction. Lots of people lost their lives. But for a populace that, from kings to nobodies, had forgotten who they were, had begun to take for granted the incredible gifts of God's moral law, of the temple, of so many of their religious feasts and practices. It gave them an opportunity to be able to entrust themselves to the Lord anew. Sometimes we can treat this worldly stuff as ends in themselves, and it's all means, even our life. And if we're going to be slain by, and you did a really good job on the names today, sister, I'm very impressed. Never heard it quite done so well. But Nebuzaradan, if we're going to be slain by somebody like him and his henchmen, but at the end of our life are able to say, Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit, forgive me, etc. Then that clear metaphysical evil and moral evil on the part of others can become, for us, a moral good. Likewise, captivity for 7 years in modern-day Baghdad, it could become a relative good, and the Lord can clean us even through those means. That for so many who didn't take the temple seriously when it was capable of being seen with their own eyes, there by the rivers of Babylon, sitting and weeping, they were longing for the temple and for what the temple symbolized and made present. God Himself, so that purification likewise occurred. Today the Church celebrates the feast of Saint Jose Maria, to whom I have a great devotion as a member of the Priestly Society of the Holy Cross, and love very much. Saint Jose Maria, in the opening prayer we had today, was God's instrument so that through our daily work we might be formed in the likeness of Jesus, God the Father's Son. Through work. The beginning, of course, work was part of our vocation. Before the fall, Jesus said, increase and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over all of creation. Stewardship in my name. After the fall, those three aspects of our human work remained. But there were pangs in childbirth. It became toilsome. And it was effectuated only by sweat, only arduously. But the vocation remained. And what happened with work? Work became part of God's plan of redemption. Because in working for others, we were having to make the choice to love, because it wasn't easy. And because we love, we work. We work to serve other people. We work to earn what we can to give to the people that we love. Work became an essential part of God's plan to make us clean, to conform us to Jesus, who came and spent 10/11 of his life on earth working an ordinary human trade. We might not like the particular work that we're called to do, but in doing that work well, as St. Jose Maria taught, we can sanctify the work by offering it to God as a sacrifice of Abel. We can sanctify others through our work, by helping them to, by our example, to unite themselves to Christ in their work and to do it together with Him, not apart from Him. And also we can sanctify ourselves. St. Gregory of Nyssa used to say in the early church, we are our parents through our work. Through the virtues we bring or the vices we bring, we form our character, we form our second nature. And when we work well, that intransitive impact unites us to the Lord, makes us more and more like Him. St. Jose Maria brought this in a much more concrete and synthesized way to the Church, which is why St. John Paul II, in his canonization, in which I was present, called him the real apostle of the laity, because he was helping lay people find in their ordinary work in the middle of the world the means of sanctification, the means of being cleansed. I discovered a vocation to the Priestly Society of the Holy Cross, ultimately because I knew, God gave me the grace to see, that I didn't really need God's help to sanctify my preaching, or what we would call in the Church the munus docendi. I didn't need a lot of help to be able to sanctify the munus sancti vicandi and the celebration of the sacraments. Comes pretty easy when someone's always sought to live a sacramental life. Very easy to love God and love others in these ways. But I knew I needed God's help to sanctify my munus regendi. When you're a pastor of a poor parish with not much money to be able to employ many people, and because of predecessor decisions where there's not much of a volunteer spirit at the beginning. And so you're having to learn how to fix toilets all day. You're having to pay bills for which you don't have enough money. You're having three Portuguese women come in and each work 143 hours to clean a rectory that had been destroyed by dogs. I can go on and on and on and on. I mean, it was really hard. But I recognized that it was likewise through that ordinary work that God was making me clean by helping me to love others better and not just doing the things that I find pleasant, but the things He actually puts on my plate. That I can become a saint through fixing toilets. That I can become a saint through meeting with lawyers. That I could actually sanctify my people through offering up the day-to-day stuff that they might never know of or acknowledge, but that God, who sees in secret, rewards. I think it's similar for a lot of the work of religious sisters. Some of the things that you do, meeting with a woman to talk her out of a terrible choice, caring for someone who's about to give birth, helping somebody experience God's mercy. Those are things that are pretty easy for a sister of life to sanctify. You need a lot of grace to be able to do it well because so many circumstances come about, but pretty straightforward according to the charism. But who does the laundry? Who washes the dishes? Who sweeps the floor? Who changes the oil in another vehicle? Those types of things too can save the world. And that's why St. Jose Maria is such a prophet for the world. The devil, as we saw through atheistic communism, wanted to alienate people through their work. God's plan is to sanctify people through their work. So that through our daily work we may be formed in the likeness of Jesus and serve the work of redemption with burning love. When we bring burning love to these activities, not only are we sanctified, but we're doing the real Opus Dei, the real work of God. So we take all of that and unite it here to the sacrifice of the altar. St. Jose Maria, one of his points in his classic book of aphorism, The Way, talks about this gospel scene today. St. Jose Maria had a very good memory, and he used to quote sacred scripture all the time in the Latin by which he learned it. Si vis potes me mundare. If you will, you can make me clean. So St. Jose Maria said, that is an aspiration we should be praying all the time. And then the Lord will respond, Volo, I do will it be made clean. And the greatest means by which He does it is here at Mass, where we begin by crying out to Him and to our brothers and sisters that we have greatly sinned in every way imaginable, and that we need God's mercy in their prayers. God comes and He says, I will it. And He gives us His body and blood each day, which brings about the redemption of the world. And strengthened by Him on the inside, we're made capable of sanctifying our work and uniting everything we do here so that that offertory means something. When we say, blessed are You, Lord God of all creation, for through Your goodness we have received this bread and wine, fruit of the earth or the vine, Your gift and the work of human hands. The bread and wine that's brought, the bread in which the grains crush, the wine in which the grapes are crushed, is a sign of the way that we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, our spiritual worship. Our work is connected to God's work. And that's why we call this liturgy, Laeturgia, literally the public work of bride and bridegroom, head and body. is our corporate work. And we unite everything else here. I rejoice today on the 21st anniversary of my ordination, that I have the chance to enter into this great prayer of Christ as his priest for the 10,321st time. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Yeah.